Good morning, Asbury.
Good morning.
We are so glad you're here. Let's stand and worship together and remember all of God's amazing promises to us. All of your promises won't let go of me.
All your promises.
Surrender my life to your ways. I have learned what it means to obey. Jesus, my heart has been changed by you. I am walking the path you have made. I am seeking the truth every day. Jesus, my heart has been changed by you. I couldn't walk away if I tried. Your love is better than life. Now the sun's shining bright and it just won't set. Cause your love is alive and it lights my step. My heart is amazed every day to the next. The joy overtakes and I can't forget about it. I'm seeking the truth every day. Jesus, my heart has been changed by you. I couldn't walk away if I tried. Cause your love is better than life. Now the sun's shining bright and it just won't set. Cause your love is alive and it rides my step. My heart is amazed every day to the next. The joy overtakes and I can't.
Please be seated. Please be seated. Because I know you're awake now. Way to go. Yes. Man, that gets your heart pumping. Well, good morning to you. Good morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. My name is Doug Walker. And if you're visiting with us today, I am the associate pastor here. I'm blessed to be here. And I hope you are blessed by being here today. We do have some visitor pads and member pads. I call them visitor pads, but they are information pads. As they are passed down the aisles, I just ask that you just fill those out so we have a record of your attendance so that we can turn those on into our district office. So please do so. Just a few announcements that we have coming up. That ACCDC fall registration began on January the 20th for members and current students. Those of you... January 10th. What did I say? I am so happy she sits up here. Everybody say, thank you, Cindy.
Thank you, Cindy.
January the 10th, I need to learn how to read. For the current students and current and church members, open registration begins next month, or January 31st, February the 1st. So you better beat the deadline, because ACCDC is a trademark of Asbury United Methodist Church. People wait in line to get their children in here, and it is a wonderful, wonderful program. Also, in the next few weeks, you don't want to miss an announcement that's coming up about a new and improved terrific program going on at Asbury. Now, the only thing that I can get them to leak out for right now is it's from ages 9 to 99, and that's it. There'll be more details coming up in the weeks ahead, so stay tuned for a few more details yet. And the Wednesday night activities are going to start back up with the children, with the youth, and you see the ages there. The Edge is going to start for the 3rd to 5th graders. Miss Laura has got a wonderful year planned out for the children. The parents that have gotten together to serve as the role or the leadership of the youth, man, they've got it planned out for the next 6 months, five, 6 months. So things are happening here as far as youth go. And also, coupled with this upcoming Wednesday is the Faith Family Dinners. And I think, Harry, you had you want to come up and make just a little bit of a few announcements about that.
Thank you very much. So, yes, the Wednesday night Faith Family Dinners will start back this Wednesday. In your bulletin that everyone grabbed on the way in, we have the dinner, which is the chicken fried chicken, mashed potatoes, gravy. One of the better dinners, so everyone make sure that they show up. Again, it's $8 for the adult, $5 for children. Speaking of the youth and the children, everything that come in, with the youth, the church will still cover the youth, so the youth will still only have to pay $5.
Yeah.
So just a reminder on that. And then while I'm talking about the Faith Family Dinners and the youth, a quick announcement about the youth. We have planned a trip to go to Veritas, so if you are a youth or you're a parent of the youth in here, January 21st is the deadline to sign up. See Lauren or Brian or myself or Rachel if you have any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Harry. Thank you very, very much. And debut, there you go right there. There are some friendships that have been made on Wednesday night during our Faith Family Dinners that are growing and strengthening this church. And as a matter of fact, as I told a group yesterday, when we come together on Wednesday nights, we are representative of an Acts church. The church described in Acts says that when they came together, they broke bread, they prayed, and they studied the Word. That's Wednesday night right here. So if you want to be part of an Acts church, come see us on Wednesday night. One announcement that is not up on screen, there has been some question about the office tomorrow. The office will be closed. It will be closed tomorrow in honor of Martin Luther King's birthday. So I invite you, I don't believe there's any other announcements other than those that you see on the back of your bulletin. I'd like for you to stand, please, pass the peace of Christ.
All righty, as those adults find your seats again, our kiddos can come on up here for some children's moments with Miss Laura. Always a favorite time in the service.
Good morning. Oh, there we go. Yay. Come on. Everybody come on down. Who else wants to come? Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Y'all are not awake. Much better, much better. So I have a question for you. We're in 2018. It's a new year, right? New year, new resolutions, new goals. Maybe. Well, I have a question. We always like to get stuff new. What is something new that we got for Christmas?
Xbox.
Woo!
An Xbox.
Sweet.
Rocket
Xbox and coming to your house. What else?
Madden and Fortnite.
Wait, say that again.
Ashley.
Mad what? Poker?
Madden NFL.
Steve Madden. Woo, Miss Laura's losing that.
Steve Madden.
A blue heron drone.
Ooh. Ooh. Very cool. Okay, what else?
A guitar.
A guitar? Ooh. Yay. What else?
A video game.
A video game? What video game was that?
Legend of Zelda.
Okay.
A bounce back soccer goal.
Ooh. A bounce back soccer goal. Sweet.
A basketball goal.
Wow. A basketball goal. Very good. Anything else? I got a Vera Bradley purse.
Woo!
Right. Yes. I'm going to confess, I am a Vera Bradley aholic.
Uh-oh.
Y'all should know that. But you know what? As we start the new year and we have new goals and we got new things for Christmas, today is a very special Sunday in the life of our church. It's the baptism of our Lord. And today, Pastor Doug is going to talk about how in baptism, we are baptized old, but then when we're baptized, we're new. And we have a new life. And so, as we think about these goals and everything that's happening with the new year, today's that we can have a new life. Some of us were baptized as we were babies. Some were baptized when we're confirmed. But today we're going to be able to, if we're already baptized, we'll be able to renew our baptism and remember our baptism. So think about that as we go into 2018 and we think about all the new things we have. We have a new life in Christ today. So remember that. Let's pray. Dear God, we want to thank you not only for today, but thank you for the new life that we have in you. As we celebrate the baptism of our Lord and we renew our baptisms, or we're baptized for the first time, that we have a new, we're old, and a new life. We ask this all in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and worship together again, Asbury.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of mountains. My God is mighty to save me. Now I surrender.
Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered. Jesus conquered the grave.
My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save.
Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. Abounds in deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed and you won't start now. Oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours.
are mine. Oh. Make these next words our prayer as we sing it out. You guys can have a seat as we enter into this time of prayer together.
Thank you. I invite you to turn in your bulletin to where those prayers, those people's names are listed in the prayer area on the back above the announcements. And I'm just going to read those. You know my practice. I call their name because as we do, that name goes right to the throne room. Betty Watt, Charlie Ward Sr., Jean Beth Hill, Bob McInturf, Dave Mackey, family and friends of Mildred Bradley upon her death this past week, and also we have one to add to this that is not listed here, and that is Lonnie Baker. Please remember her. She's in Baptist, as I believe I visited with her on Friday, and she is such a wonderful person, such a good spirit. So do remember her as we go to the Lord in prayer. Bow with me, please. Almighty God, you are the creator of all things, and through your Son, all things were created, and nothing was created other than through him. You sent him to earth to live among us, to teach us, and to show us the way to you, the Father. When he was baptized, the power of your Holy Spirit descended upon him. We see the Holy Trinity in this holy sacrament of baptism. On this day of remembrance, let us not forget the power in us through your Holy Spirit, that we are connected to your Son, Jesus, through the Spirit. And it is the Spirit that ministers to us in all our times, even during our times of joy and our times of sorrow. In our baptism, we acknowledge the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord. This great act of sacrifice draws us all together in union of fellowship with you. Father, we thank you for being counted as your children and for your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. as our ushers come forward, let us be mindful. Let us remember just how blessed a people we really are. Let's remain in this state of prayer as we ask the Lord to bless this morning's offering. Father God, you are our great provider. We look to you for all blessings, for they are perfect and they are good. We thank you for the tithes and gifts given today and ask that you multiply them to reach the uttermost parts of this world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
That once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. The Savior knelt to wash our feet. Now at his feet we bow. The one who bore our and shame, now robed in majesty, the radiance of perfect love now shines for all to see. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. That held us now gives way to him who is our peace. His final breath upon the cross is now alive in me.
Amen.
Your name
grateful that in you we find new life, a fresh start, not just once a year, but every single day. The resurrected King is resurrecting me, and for that I will forever sing. We will forever sing and praise your name. the holy name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, for those of you who have not been in the military, I must apologize, because the story I'm about to tell is a little bit of a military background to it. And you know that I've been in the military, and some of you have even been in the military yourself. So I must first explain for those who have not. A second lieutenant is the lowest ranking branch officer among the officer corps. And of course, there's the warrant officers, and I won't get into all of that. But at any rate, most of them are just beginning their careers. They've either come out of a military academy, or they've come out of an ROTC program, or they've come out of an officer candidate school. And they're so eager to learn, and they know that they're just beginning. But some of them are just a little bit full of themselves, and they don't know as much as what they think they do. Now, because of that, they become the object of a lot of jokes. So the story I'm about to tell you is a true story, and I won't tell you the names just to protect the guilty. My last annual training period with the 39th Infantry Brigade was in 2016 as a whole, and I was bound and determined to make that a memorable one. I was going to be the old crotchety warrant officer that everybody thought that I really was. So we were out. I wasn't even in the operations center. I was just always going somewhere. And one day, one afternoon, we were out teaching a brand new E5 sergeant the way around Fort Chaffee. And it was the E5 sergeant was driving, and then in the what they call the command seat was a brand new second lieutenant. I was sitting behind the sergeant, and the operations sergeant major, the E9, was sitting over here. And we're driving along, and the second lieutenant has the Fort Chaffee map sitting on his lap on a very thin piece of plywood. We call it a map board. And he was sitting there, and he was telling the sergeant in his young command voice, Sergeant, turn left here. Sergeant, turn right here. Sergeant, go straight here. It became very apparent that we were getting lost real quick. And so the operations sergeant major said, LT, where are we? Well, second lieutenants outrank sergeant majors, but a second lieutenant dare not challenge a sergeant major. Sergeant major, I'm not quite sure. A few minutes later, LT, where are we? Sergeant major, I'm trying to find it. I looked over at the sergeant major, and I winked. And he said, LT, where are we? And he said, Sergeant Major, I'm not sure. And I hadn't said a word to this point. And finally, the old crotchety warrant officer said, Lieutenant, give me the map board. He gave me the map board. And we went a few hundred yards more. And in my peaceful, kind, gentle warrant officer voice, I said, stop the vehicle. And the sergeant, there was rocks and dust just flew everywhere. And I said, LT, where are we? Lieutenants do not challenge sergeant majors. They dare not approach chief warrant officers, for we walk above water. He was a little shaky in his voice, and he said, Chief, I'm not sure. And I said, LT, you're going to do this. He said, yes, Chief. And I said, see that tree about 20 meters out to your right? Yes, Chief. He said, I want you to get out of the vehicle, and I want you to go out there by that tree. And he opened his door, and he took one step out. And I said, when you get there, shake the tree. I'll look at the map and see which one moves on the map, and that'll be where we're located. He took two more steps, and he stopped. And he turned around, and he looked at me. He knew that was an outward sign of an inward change, that the chief got him. That story is true, ladies and gentlemen. That is a true story. I had more fun with second lieutenants than the Army laws should allow. Well, if you have your Bible with you today, we're going to turn to the book of Mark, and we're going to read in the fourth chapter, and we're only going to read a few verses. And they're going to sound a little bit strange considering the baptism of the Lord Sunday. But if you would, please, and I do invite you to turn to the Word. Do not take, just because I'm standing up here in a position of authority, I am not the authority. This is the authority. Bring your Bibles with you and turn, as I do, to Mark chapter 4, verses 37. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the boat in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Some of your versions say, "about to drown." He woke up, he rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" The word of God for the people of God. We see Jesus traveling in a boat across a lake. Actually, it's the Sea of Galilee here. And he and his disciples have just left Capernaum, heading for Gerasenes. Now, while in Capernaum, he had done a little bit of stirring things up, but he'd also done a great deal of teaching as well. But this was not the first time that he had been in Capernaum. So let's do just a little bit of a flashback to see what was going on leading up to this boat incident. The people of the town of Capernaum that heard that Jesus had returned there, and they started gathering outside the house where he was, and they started pushing against him. Well, in that crowd was also the teachers of the law. Well, in chapter 2, it tells the story that Jesus was teaching, Jesus was talking, and men carried a gentleman on a mat, a paralytic, up to the roof. They dug through the roof, and they lowered that man down to where Jesus was. Jesus looked at the man on the mat, and he told him, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some of the teachers of the law obviously saw and heard because they thought to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God?" Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he turned and he directly addressed them, saying, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, stand up, take your mat, and walk?" Well, I'm sure in the Pharisees' piety, they knew it was much easier to say to the man, man's sins, and address them than the physical condition, because they usually walked around and say, you know, "God would forgive you of your sins if you would do this," or "God will forgive you of your sins if you do that." But Jesus continued, "But so that you know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin," he turned to the paralytic and said, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home." The scribes were amazed at what they had seen because they'd never seen anything like that before. Remember, it was a widely held belief and a tradition that the sins of the person was because of something that they did, or their physical condition was because of those sins, or the sins that had been passed down from the parents. What amazed them the most was that the man was getting up, rolling up his mat, and walking home. He was obviously known as a paralyzed man by the scribes, more than likely being placed outside the temple doors where the scribes and the Pharisees would walk by and see him, as everybody else with physical infirmities was usually done. But they missed the whole point. Jesus first addressed the man's spirit. He forgave the man of his sins, but he did nothing to address the man's physical needs. And that's why his friends brought him there anyway in the first place. So I'm sure it caused a lot of questions, not only in those four men's minds, but a lot of the minds of the scribes as well. And Jesus only did something to address the man's physical infirmities after the scribes accused him mentally, thinking that Jesus was blaspheming. Jesus addressed him physically, which was the more fleshly or the outward healing that Jesus did. Because to the scribes, remember, in addressing the man's physical infirmities, it was proof to the scribes that the man's sins had been forgiven, considering the tradition. Well, Jesus attended to the man's sins first because he saw it as faith. He saw the men's actions of lowering that man down through the roof as an act of faith. And it was a result of their faith that Jesus addressed the man's spirit before he addressed the man's flesh. Talk of not only what Jesus did, but what he said spread around the region by the Pharisees and other people that were there. Jesus had chosen his 12 disciples while he was in Capernaum. They were up on a mountaintop, and he chose them. He chose the 12, and he told them of his plan to spread his message through them, and he gave them power and gave them authority to drive out demons. It was at that time that you could say that Jesus began his ministry to the masses of people that would follow him. Jesus would begin to preach to those crowds as he gathered. But as the scriptures tells us in chapter 4, verse 34, he did not say anything to them without using a parable. Jesus didn't try to talk over their head using big ecclesiastical words. He spoke directly to them in ways that they would understand. He let each person hearing what he had to say interpret in their own minds what he was telling them. But in the latter part of verse 34, it tells us that Jesus always, always explained to the disciples in private what he meant by the parables. Isn't that exactly the way God treats us? I mean, think about it. When each one of us reads a certain scripture, when we read the word, we have an individual revelation of what God is trying to say to us. He talks to us differently. Now, those of you that are parents that have more than one child, if you have two children, two or three, do you talk to them in the same way, all three of them? Of course you don't, because they're different people. God the Father speaks to each and every one of us in the same way, differently, because we are different people. Well, back to the story. Jesus had just finished a day of teaching from the boat because the crowd had pushed against him and actually pushed him, and he got into the boat and drifted out just a little ways. Well, after teaching, he and his disciples set sail and turned their boat south to go to the other side of the lake. He was tired, and he laid down on in the back of the boat on the cushion next to the gentleman that actually steers the boat, the rudder. And we don't know how big the boat was, but we know it was big enough to hold men and Jesus and the 12 disciples. Jesus was tired. He laid down on the cushions. When a storm suddenly came up and the waves started coming into the boat, as we read, these strong men who were supposed to be experienced fishermen on the water panicked in their flesh and woke Jesus up, saying, "Don't you even care that we're going to drown?" Jesus got up and said, "Peace, be still." And the sea immediately, one of Mark's favorite terms, immediately went calm. Jesus then turned to them and asked, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" Still no faith. After all that Jesus had taught them in private, revealing the meaning of the parables to them. And after they had seen him perform miracles like the healing of the paralytic man, and even in the same chapter later, in that same chapter, healing the man that had the shriveled hand on the Sabbath in the temple, they saw it. The disciples still did not have what Jesus wanted them to have on the inside, and that was faith. We do not have the advantage the disciples had living with Jesus. But what we do have is something the disciples did not have at that moment, and that is the Holy Spirit. We often hear that we are to be more Christ-like, or we're to act like Christ in everything we do. Brothers and sisters, that is impossible. We're sinners. All of us are. Jesus was perfect and was sinless. We cannot totally be Christ-like in our lives. What we do have the capability of doing, though, is plugging into Jesus. He told his disciples the Father is the gardener and he is the vine. Jesus told his disciples that they must be grafted into the vine in order to bear fruit. Now for us, grafted into the vine or grafted into Jesus in order to bear fruit, we do so a little differently. Since we don't have Jesus here with us, we are grafted to him through the Holy Spirit. Yes. Colossians 1:27 says, "To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Jesus was born, he lived, and he was crucified. He was resurrected from the dead by the Father, but that's not the end. Jesus told his disciples he had to go make room for another, the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the ascension is so important. The Holy Spirit came, and it is through him that we have the hope of glory, Christ in us, and we in Christ. We're grafted into the vine in order to bear fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. When we were baptized, it was an outward sign of an inward change. It symbolized that we are recognized with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Just as the power of the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove when he was baptized by John, let's remember the baptism is not the end. We must remain in Christ through the Holy Spirit to remain and realize the hope of glory. Therefore, baptism is only the beginning of having Christ in us and we in Christ through the Holy Spirit studying his word and continue in faith that the Holy Spirit is in us so we can have a way to Christ who is sitting at the right hand of the Father. In a moment, while we sing, I'm going to invite you to come forward and to remember your baptism. I will have water here, and you can touch the water. You can touch it to your head, your lips, your heart, or not at all. But I will invite you forward. And then you can also linger at the prayer rails as long as you would like. Remember, it is Christ in us. That is the hope of glory through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us pray, please. Father, we thank you that the Holy Trinity is real and it is alive. And it was at the moment of the baptism, Lord, that we saw God the Son. We heard God the Father and we saw God the Holy Spirit descend upon him. And you said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." What a beautiful picture. And Father, those that are baptized, that are members, that are your children, we will take in just a moment to remember that moment, that power that we have, that change, that new life that we have in your Son through the Holy Spirit. So, Father, I ask that you continue to bless this service, that you be real in the presence of your Holy Spirit. Move among us, bless us, and enrich us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As they're getting set up, this water has no power. It is a symbol. God is real. God made things come into existence through the Word. Through Him speaking, God's Word is so powerful. He created. He told everybody at Jesus' baptism that I am pleased. He spoke. Jesus' baptism was a family affair. His cousin baptized him. The Father was there, and the Holy Spirit was there. As we all stand and sing, I will invite you to come forward and place your hand in the water and remember your baptism. Remember your baptism and be faithful. Be thankful. Remember your baptism and 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 be thankful.
Your love is devoted like a ring of silent gold, like a vow that is tested, like a covenant of old. Your love is enduring through the winter rain and beyond the horizon, with mercy for today. Faithful you have been, faithful you will be. You pledged yourself to me, and it's why I sing. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my us whole. You shoulder our weakness, and strength becomes our own. You're making me like you, clothing me in white, bringing beauty from ashes. But you will laugh your bride, free of all her guilt, rid of all her shame, no matter truth. Ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. You will be praised, you will be praised. Angels and saints, we sing, worthy are you, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips.
noticed some quivering lips, some tears. Baptism is a powerful, powerful moment in the life of a Christian child. And it is. It's very, very powerful. I hope, I pray that you were blessed by today's blessings, just blessings from above, that it meant something to you today, that you will remember it. Please bow your head and receive this blessing. Father, I just ask that you pour out blessings, open those windows of heaven upon this group, your children, this your church, this your nation, and this your world. Father, that we cannot hold them back. Father, keep them safe. Keep them aware. Keep them alive in your word through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.